Hi, and welcome to the American Male Spouse. I'm your host, Elizabeth Smith. This week, I got to talk to Charmaine, who grew up as a military kid, and she's also a published author. Her children's book, I Move a Lot and That's Okay, is so great for military kiddos. We have it and we love it. And I just enjoyed talking to Charmaine so much. I got to see things through the lens of a grown-up military brat, and her experience and perspective gave me so much peace of mind as a mom of military kids. Be sure to check out her website, booksformilitaryfamilies.com, to see all of her work.
Hi, so my name is Charmaine Perry Knight, and I am a military brat. I've lived and traveled all over the world, and for work right now, I'm a learning and development professional and author.
Awesome. And as a military brat, what branch were you in, and how many years did you do that for?
Air Force. And I was actually born into the service. You know, you're born in one base, and then you wait the standard number of weeks, and then you ship out overseas. And so all my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's wild. So, and now where do you live?
Now I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. So you're not too far from me. We're down in Destin, Florida area. So
I've been down to that base so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Long Beach, or are you in Panama City?
Yeah, Eglin. Yep.
Oh, Eglin. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But Fort Walton's like the next town over. So yeah, we just got here in June.
Hopefully you'll like it as it gets warmer, because it's
summer. Yeah. So right, we got here in like the dead of it. It was very hot, very humid, but we came from Edwards, which is out in the middle of the desert in California. So it was just sort of a dry heat to a humid heat. And then we did all the hurricanes and stuff, which were not something we were used to. But the winter's great here. I love this time of year. It's very mild, and I'm happy to be here. So as you said, you are an author. So tell me what inspired you. Tell me about your book and what inspired you to write it.
Well, for me, that extra time where you'd be driving to and from the office, that's kind of what inspired me to write. I said, wait a minute, I have a lot of time where I'm not traveling because I'm working from home. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what can I do? I love to write. So I have lots of papers all over, you know, not hoarder, but just lots of sticky notes of things that I've written over the years. I said, I would like to write a book. And so I started to just put all my ideas down. Then I said, which one really appeals to my emotions and which one can I complete first? And so with that, I Move a Lot and That's Okay is my children's book. That's what I was able to complete first, but I actually published it last.
Okay. So have you written all the books that you've published? Did you put all those together just in this past year?
Yes, during the pandemic, I was able to create so many coloring books and guided journals and two children's books. So I was really proud about my pandemic creativity. I mean, I've also been jumping on bubble wrap, which is a military brat pastime. You know, you have boxes everywhere, so you draw on boxes, you jump on bubble wrap, and then, of course, I write on the side.
That's the truth. That's amazing. Truly, what an incredibly impressive use of that time. So I Move a Lot and That's Okay is one of your children's book. And what's the other one called?
The other one's I Move a Lot and That's Okay, Axel's Story. So initially I had the father as the service member, you know, just mirroring my own upbringing. Mm-hmm. And the mom was a supportive spouse. And then I heard from friends that are also military. They said, wait a minute, but I'm the service member. I'm a female soldier. I would like to see us represented in books. I said, of course. Mm-hmm. So the next book is a male character, the child, and the mom is the service member. The dad is the supportive spouse, because I know that that is also a reality in our military community.
Yes, that's awesome. And I love that you considered that. And I know, so I ordered your book, and it is such a great book. And honestly, as a mom who is just forever worried that the military life is permanently damaging my children, it was in reading through it, it was comforting for me too. I'm like, yeah, it is okay. We are okay.
Yeah, it's every day you find something. I'm okay. Yes. I'm okay. I'm okay. So like I said, it's not going to damage them. It'll make them flexible in a way that when they come back to the real world, if you will, past 18, this idea of just traveling so much and being open, having friends of so many backgrounds and just celebrating diversity is not common outside of the military world. So they will feel a little different, but as they gravitate to new friendships, they're going to say, you know what? I had something special growing up, something that was really different.
Yes, I agree with you. And our oldest daughter is actually mixed race. So I also just really love the diversity that your book, even the original book that it included, because we're always after books where Annie gets to see characters that look like her. So for it to be somebody who looked like her with a story like hers was especially cool. So we are big fans of your book and have read it many times already. We've had it for a couple of weeks now and it's a favorite. So
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. I know you led on to that a little bit, but tell me more about being a military kid and what that felt like for you, because obviously our listeners are mostly military spouses and a lot of times military moms, but not necessarily ones who went through it themselves. So I think, like I said, for me, I'm always kind of wondering what that's like for my girls. And as they get older, what that experience is going to look like for them. And I like to look at the positives. Do you feel like it was a positive experience overall for you? And what were some of the highs and lows?
Definitely a positive experience overall. But I think as we talk about military, most people think of the service member, or they think of the supportive spouse, which is typically the wife, right? So they think of that person, but most people aren't focusing on the child. And so a lot gets lost in translation. So if you think of every PCS, right, you're moving and you're thinking you have to do so much. You have to get the kids in school. You have to get shot records. You've got to get clearance for the dog to travel, right? And pack up everybody's things and something's going to get broken. What does that look like when you move? But sometimes you forget all of the rapid change, the toll it takes on kids. So I have to say that it made me incredibly resilient to travel so much, to have friends of different backgrounds, to learn so many languages. You become like a mini adult, right? Because you can go to the store. We lived in Turkey at one point. You'd be able to go to the store on your own and you felt like a big kid.
Yeah.
Because you could speak enough Turkish, you know, good opsek, and you have to blend in, all of that, right? So we took host nation and you're it's only 3 blocks away. But as an 8-year-old walking to the store by myself, I felt like a big girl. And so being able to speak the language and having a technical command of a new area, you don't want to treat them like they're babies, but at the same time, you want to honor that their feelings, their experiences are different. They miss their friends. And remember, we were writing letters when we moved. Now these kids can FaceTime. Before, remember, it was VTC. You were only able to talk to the service member when they were downrange, right? And everybody got to make the phone call. But now they have devices where they can quickly connect. So, you know, just kind of validating their feelings, talking to them, why we have to move, not just we're moving again, because we moved every year or two, or in some cases, 3 years.
Yep. That's where we fell too. We've had the longest we were anywhere was about 3 years, and that was really once. So, and we've found that already, even with my oldest, who's 3.5, that we have noticed that we did not give her enough time, in the sense that for us, like you said, we're doing all the logistics and it's kind of like once each box is checked, then we're like, okay, this is our new normal. But we also were coming to terms with it months ahead of time. We knew what was going on. And we realized that before our last move, that at the time, I remember us thinking, wow, she is just really not great right now. Like, she is really hard to be around right now. And then in hindsight, we're like, you know what? That was really only 2 months after we got there. Like, we were used to it. But as at that time, a 2-year-old, she didn't know she was leaving her house. She didn't get any of it. She didn't know where the heck her house was and where she was. And so I think you're totally right that you have to remember their feelings and validate them and acknowledge that they're not on the same timeline as you. They're not on the same wavelength. And I'm sure that that goes for kids of all ages, not just the really little ones, but even luckily now, like this last move, she's older and can verbalize a little bit more. For the longest time, we had to call this our Florida house because we'd get here and she'd say, that's not our house, you know, because our house to her was in California. Like, okay, this is our house now that we live in Florida. And it's home now, but you know, it's a process for sure.
Definitely a process, because I remember people asking you, where are you from? And you have this moment of panic because you're like, I don't know. Do I say I was actually born in California, but I got my social in Texas, but my accent once was British because we moved there a few weeks after that.
Right.
But I spent my longest time in Germany. Like, where am I from? So I just, it becomes a little anxious for kids because they're like, I don't know, where am I from? And mm-hmm. so my mom just taught us to adopt the phrase, like, you're from everywhere. You're just making mm-hmm. the best of wherever you are, because people ask you, where are you from? You're like, well, I don't know. I'm wherever my family is right now.
Right. Do you wish that you had more stability in terms of that? Or are you happy to have had the experience that you did?
I'm happy to have had the experience I did. I feel as though we have a unique advantage in the world. You know, I think there's value to living and like being born and raised in the same city your entire life. There's value there, but this is so cool. Like, I finished high school in Germany and I went to middle school in Italy and lived all over the Middle East and England wow. and like Europe and just all over the place, right? So some really cool experiences I would not have had otherwise. And so when you're talking, your worldview is so much larger than most people. Mm-hmm. I personally wouldn't change it. And having that experience, I think, really prepared me for what's happening now, where people are locked indoors. You know, they're away from their family. They don't know what it looks like. But for us, it was pretty normal for our dad to be gone for 9 months. Mm-hmm. at a time. You know, it's pretty normal that you're not going to see family for an extended period of time because you're in a right. foreign country. So mm-hmm. it is difficult. And I'm not saying that military life is like a pandemic, but it has some elements where mm-hmm. you're going to be away from everything, where you're going to have to try different foods, where you're not going to be able to go to certain places because it's unsafe, and you learn to adapt. So I feel like our community is a little bit better prepared for this rapid change, because this is military life, right? At mm-hmm. a moment's notice, anything can change.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. And I saw something that said along the lines of, a lot of you have never had government mess up your travel plans and it shows or something. And that's,
yeah. I saw that.
That's where we've all, like you said, we've all been through experiences where major parts of our life were just suddenly disrupted. And like you said, doesn't equate to a pandemic, but there are parts of it that we were already conditioned a little bit better for. So I agree with you. And I do think about that sometimes when I look back on the things I learned and the ways that I started to change once I left my hometown, and the way that I evolved and my worldview just expanded when I realized that not everyone was exactly like all the people in my hometown. And I'm hopeful that that's something that my girls are just going to start experiencing right away, that they're going to know that not everybody is quite like everyone where you are, because you're going to move in 5 minutes and it's going to be different. So I think that that's a really cool advantage that they have, is already getting all those diverse experiences and coming into contact with all those different walks of life.
Yeah, you're just different, and different is celebrated. Because if you think of like in the Dodd school systems, you have your Hispanic heritage of the month, you have Indian heritage of the month, you have Black mm-hmm. heritage month, you know, you're celebrating all of these different groups. And I hope I'm not leaving anyone out, but you have all of these groups where we're celebrating the mixture and the differences that make us special. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, you take some of that for granted, that you have friends whose grandmas make a rapist, you know, mm-hmm. and you have this person's grandma who makes this, and every family truly just pulls you in and loves you like you are their own. Because mm-hmm. when this person's dad is deployed, your dad is their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or this person's mom is in the hospital and you guys are now like one family who's cooking for both households. And so because of the short amount of time you have together, some mm-hmm. of the friends that I've made 20, 30 years they're really family. They're not friends. They're family. And so when their dad is sick, like, I'm so worried because he taught me to play basketball at 7, you know?
Right. They definitely do. What kind of advice do you have for parents who are raising military kids right now?
I just spend time with them. You know, I know they're in a routine. They know they're supposed to work because the Army told them to do something. They understand, right? It's an order. I can't say no. I think I put that in the book, right? Big boss said, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. They understand that aspect, but make it bite-sizable. Because for us, it was typically, hey, we got to move again. And then you're like, wait a minute, are the movers here? Because we got really short notice. I'm pretty sure he had noticed before we actually had noticed.
Okay.
But But I was just like, oh my God, I've got to move like in a very short amount of time. What am I going to do? And as a kid, you miss your friends, you miss your environment. You look for that comfort. But as I got older, I realized the only thing that's comfortable is welcoming discomfort. Mm. That's the only thing that's constant is change. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to anybody raising military kids, because my sister, you know, grew up military brat and then she married military. So I always cracked the joke on her. I was like, you're a spouse and a brat.
Yeah. At the same time.
Right? And her kids are going through this too. They just moved back overseas.
Okay.
This idea of allow them to feel the way they feel. Mm-hmm. Let them start journaling, right? Find maybe something once a week that you can do consistently. We always had pizza before we moved.
Okay.
You saw pizza come, you're like, oh God, you know, it's time to move, right? You know, pizza a lot. You're like, okay. Or you see TLF and you're walking, you're like, oh, are we coming to stay here, right? And so find moments that things that they can celebrate on the way towards a PCS and like when help them, let them help you find a house, even though you know you got to pick something. Mm-hmm. Let them go see one place so they can feel like they're a part of the process.
Okay.
That's some of the things that I missed. I was like, I wish I got to pick our house. You just see and you're like, okay, so this is our Italy house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is our Germany house. In my mind, I was, you know, it's just whatever house I'm in. And you just made the best. I would say home is wherever my family is.
Mm-hmm. So did you spend then the majority of your time overseas?
Yes. I spent the majority of my time overseas, yeah.
Okay.
And then you moved back to the U.S. I moved back for college. And I was like, wow, this is a really different world. I never intended to drive. Let me tell you, I never intended to drive because you can travel most of Europe by train, bus, streetcar.
Sure.
I mean, the world is your oyster because you don't have to drive. And I was like, wait a minute, I have to drive? I would try my best to take the train everywhere or the bus. But, you know, living here in Atlanta, you have to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So just something I wish I didn't have to do.
Yeah. What were some of the other big culture shocks coming back here? Were there things that you just sort of took for granted being overseas that you had to adjust to here?
Yeah. The celebration of Christmas, it is a big to-do like in Germany or in Italy. Like I know it's a holiday, but it's like the national holiday, the markets, just the feel of it. If you ever watch Hallmark channels, picture Hallmark all day, every day for like 6 or 8 weeks. That's the feel of Christmas overseas, right? And then you come here and it's nice, but you're not seeing as many markets. You're not seeing as many people mix. It's more the consumerism, not necessarily people just spending time together. So I miss that. I miss a lot of the fresh grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Being able to walk into a market and get fresh bread as opposed to the bread that sits in. I mean, it's still good, but I'm like, where should it last 3 weeks, right?
Right.
So things you take for granted.
Yeah. And I feel like generally in a lot of, especially like European towns, you grocery shop much more often. It's sort of more of your way of life that you go, you know, for a few things every couple of days. And where I feel like here, it's much more, you go get your Costco haul for the month, you know, and
back up on all your paper towels.
Right.
So I miss that so much. Something else I took for granted is being able to like seeing where Jesus' tomb was. When we lived in Turkey, we got to go to Ephesus and see where Paul walked and where Jesus' tomb was. And, you know, just things that you take for granted because it was a cool experience, or seeing the Sistine Chapel. I didn't think much of it. I was just like, oh, this is really cool. Or seeing an Italian opera in person. And so when you start to talk about what's a regular experience to you, people just like, wait a minute, you've seen the Louvre? And to us, it was a field trip.
Yeah.
You know, or I played volleyball and you're playing with a competing team in England and you're in Italy. So you're just, you know, you're driving and it's a lot of fun. You stopping along the way, you know, you're getting out, taking pictures and stuff. And that was just a long distance trip for sports. Yeah. But here it's a different experience. So I've, you know, you look back and you say, wow, I wish I could go back in the moment and just appreciate it a little bit more. It was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it, but I said, wow, this is so different than the normal life where I'm living.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think that's sort of a challenge in any base, whatever phase you're in. It's so hard to stop and appreciate it while you're in it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, 4 days after you leave, you're already like, man, we had it good there. But in the moment, it's so hard because there's always a part of you that knows you're going somewhere else And so you have 1 foot wherever you are, and then 1 foot kind of heading to the next place. And like you said, handling the logistics of it and where we're going to live and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that's something that I'm always wishing that I would slow down and appreciate more about wherever I am for whatever the reason. And especially when you're in these incredible places. And I imagine I was just talking to a friend who's over in England, and she was talking about things that happened 400 years ago, which I think is, again, one of those things that you come to America and you just don't have that. You don't have that history because America was not, you know, most of our colonization and everything has like been so recent that to go see, you know, the Sistine Chapel, for instance, like we didn't have anything like that. There's nothing that was built anywhere near that time here. So I think that kind of stuff is really cool. And it's neat that you got to experience so much of that before starting college. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then when you get to college, it's kind of boring at that point. People are like, oh, we're going to Miami. And in my mind, I'm like, no, we did boat rides on the Rhine River, like as teenagers. And you're like, oh, how cool is that? So I say all that to say, every time you move, it's like a little piece of your heart stays in that station.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's how it always felt as a kid. Like, this place is really cool and I like it, but I really miss that about mm-hmm. that other place. And so a little piece of you just stays in every station. And yeah. The cool thing is that you can always travel again mm-hmm. and visit that place and just, you know, have all the feels, as they say, and take it all in again.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like until you leave, you can't truly appreciate the place you were in.
Yep, that's true. It's true. It's so hard to do that. And I keep trying to get better, but it's tough. And it's
we
tough.
All do it.
I was going to say, and even as an adult, it's not easy. And as a kid, like you said at the time, you're like, okay, it's a field trip. It's a volleyball game, you know? It's just how life is. It is what it is. But
don't we miss that now? How crazy were we to let someone blow on a birthday cake? And you cut up all the pieces and then we ate it?
Right.
It's never again.
I go so back and forth though, because there's a part of me that's like, oh, I'm so much more germ conscious now and I would never do something like that. And then there's a part of me that's like, the minute that someone tells me it's okay, I am doing the birthday cakes and I'm hugging everybody and we're, you know, sharing cups. And it's like, it depends on the day and how far I'm taking that. But anyway, back to your books. Can you tell me of your projects, which one's been your favorite to work on?
So the children's books have been one of my favorites, but I have to say my adult coloring books are my absolute favorite. I like to sit and color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun pastime. You know, we used to do that as kids. I still do that as an adult. And it's so freeing to sit and mm-hmm. color. So I keep color pencils and crayons. And when my nieces and my nephew come over, I hide my stack and I have a separate stack that they can use. If they're, if they're listening, I'm so sorry. I keep the good stuff, right?
Right.
just coloring. So I've been doing more research about the benefits of adult coloring. Mm-hmm. So much for your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health. And so I sit and I color a little bit each day. Mm-hmm. I decided I would create some coloring books.
That's great. And I've heard before that, especially if you're somebody who's very like in your head all the time, that the best thing you can do is using your hands and sort of forcing yourself to use that other part of your brain and kind of slowing down the part of you. And I speak for myself as
it's
an
like
example.
You read my mind.
Yeah. That when we do, like sometimes if we do a puzzle, that kind of thing, that it forces you to kind of slow down and focus on something a little bit more visual. And I will say that our problem is puzzles, for example, we can't do anything slowly. So I think that probably the coloring book would be better suited for me because I can do a page and then walk away, because otherwise we start this giant puzzle and we're way too uptight to just walk away from it. And so we end up poring over this puzzle for, you know, hours and hours in like a 2.5 day period. So I think I'm
like that.
Better suited for a coloring book.
That sounds like competition. I like it. So
yeah.
I will sit and I will color or I'll play cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something we used to do all the time. You know, no matter where you went, you got to take a deck of cards because that's easy. It's cheap.
Mm.
I could quickly put it in my bag. You can let your kids put it in their bag and you could teach them like solitaire or even I Declare War. Most or just I win, whatever rules they come up with, let them win. And that's a fun game.
Yeah.
But you always have a pack of cards and that could be something, you know, to play mm-hmm. while you're in the hotel until you move.
Yes, that's a great idea. And we're getting into that age too, where it's sort of anything but a phone, you know, like anything but watching videos on a phone. And because that's just kind of especially during this past year. It's been chaotic, to say the least. There's been a lot more YouTube Kids than I ever had hoped. And so the coloring, card games, that's a great idea. Just things like that to get your eyes away from a screen are always a win in my book.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it don't last, but sometimes I'll just put like a little dish soap and some water and take a straw and dip it and blow and just blow bubbles.
Mm.
I mean, it's easy. It's relatively inexpensive, but that's fun. I mean, as long as they don't, suck up too much of the soap, they'll probably be fine. And you just let them blow bubbles. You should just sit outside on the stoop, like wherever we had just moved before you made a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Blow some bubbles.
That's a great idea. Yeah, there, I'm sure it would be a little soap sucked up, but that's okay.
It'll be all right. You know, soap never really hurt too many people.
Yeah, they'd probably just do it once. It'd be fine. So are you working on any other projects right now?
Yes. So I'm working on another book where it's dual military. So the mother and the father will both be service members, because you know that happens.
Absolutely.
And they'll probably both deploy.
Okay.
Or the child will have to go live with a grandparent.
Okay. That's
and then just
great.
Talk about their experience. And because there's so many different types of families on a single base. And people think it's exactly the same. It's like everyone's experience is similar, but not exactly the same.
Mm-mm.
And so, talking about that. And then later on, maybe talking about trying to find a kid-friendly way to talk about PTSD. Because typically when someone returns from deployment, they're different. We mm-hmm. experienced that. He was different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't know what to call it then. But now we have some real terms around what it is.
That's so great. And obviously these are specific experiences, but they're not isolated. And so I think it's so great that you're doing this, because yes, it's not something that every kid relates to, but there's a big group of kids who don't see their stories reflected right now. And so the fact that you're putting those stories out there is so great, and that they give us as parents such a great way to talk to our kids about it. And I know for my girls already, it's so nice when they know that someone else is going through something similar, even when their dad's TDY, that Calvin's dad's TDY too, or whoever, that it's just, okay. It's not just like my dad all of a sudden left, but it's, hey, remember, how they work together and they're on this trip. And it's so nice, I think, for them to just see that their life is not isolated, and there's other kids that go through the same stuff and who, miss their dads or moms or, experiences, deployments and stuff.
I remember that vividly, like everybody's dad not being there because of something mm-hmm. happening, or when 9/11 happened, and mm-hmm. we were, in high school at the time. But I remember many of my friends enlisted after that, and everybody had similar experiences of knowing someone very close who went downrange or didn't return, just a number of things that occurred. But you felt as though you weren't alone in your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to be honest, most of the people that are in my inner circle now are still those friends that were military brats like me, because you mm-hmm. don't have to explain why you're different. And, all of the, I still like AFN radio, and I like alternative music, but I also like hip hop. Right. And
mm-hmm.
people will understand that, because they know that, you had a little bit of everything on the radio. So having to not explain the nuances or like the, how eclectic your style is because of your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You gravitate towards those same individuals.
Right.
And I like that. So as you grow, they're going to keep those same friends they had. I still have friends from when I was 4. Did we ever see each other at another base? No. But mm-hmm. we did write letters to each other. And then when we crossed a certain age, we visited. So they'll have those lifelong bonds with people that they weren't physically close to, but their heart was just as connected as the first day.
Mm-hmm. That makes me happy to hear.
Oh yeah. I still have that. I mean, the other people that I've known, and I may have seen them every day for the last 10 years, are not as close to me as those people that I have known when we grew up, because mm-hmm. I remember when this person's dad was sick, or they mm-hmm. remember when my mom was this, and they were not just friends. They became additional siblings.
Right.
And the bond is different.
It is. I mean, and again, this life has some really heavy moments to it. And a lot of times those do bond you differently from your neighbor across the street whose dad comes home at 5:30 every day, because it's just a different experience. And somebody who relates to that is the kind of person who can definitely, they fit in your life for a long time because they relate that way.
Yeah, they just kind of fit like that puzzle, right? They just stay with you. 20 years later, they just stay with me.
Right. So tell me about launching a book in COVID times in 2020. It sounds like you got the idea during that time, right? To do all of this. Did it impact anything, or was it, it almost kind of sounds like it, you can credit the pandemic with your desire to make, to create the books, right?
I'm like you, I'm in my head a lot, right? And so I said, well, what else can I do? I got all this extra time. You know, I tried to bake a little bit, you know, but I'm not really a baker. I can cook, but I'm not a baker. So I was like, let's scratch that off my list. And I was like, you know, I want to write. And I read a lot, but I said, you know what? I don't see enough books that represent the childhood experience I had.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I look, there are a few, but I don't remember ever reading some of that. And like you're saying, for your children, you want them to look around and see someone else had that experience. So they feel a little less lonely. They feel a little more connected to someone else and they can see themselves in a book. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book about some of my experiences. And so I joined an author group on Facebook. I was like, hey guys, I have this crazy idea. I want to write a book about this. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I need is one yes. And I was like, well, let me start. And my mind went down the rabbit hole.
Yep.
And I said, I'm just going to sit for maybe 30 minutes every day and write a little bit. It ended up being like 5 minutes at a time. And I was like, okay, I like this idea. And I was like, let's talk about the time you moved from Georgia to Italy.
Mm.
Huge culture shock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let me write about that. And I was like, wait a minute, I want to incorporate trying pizza over there. And I want to incorporate learning the language over there, because that's every kid's experience. You're remembering the first time they tried a food somewhere else, or when they learned a cool word in another language. I want to do that. And then I said, wait a minute, this is too long. Shorten this, because some kid actually has to read it. And then I got really excited. I was like, look, tell my husband, I was like, look at this, look at this. He was like, it looks great. But I'm thinking, okay, let me ask another, you know, another military kid. And they're like, oh yeah, I remember when we did this. And so as I started to bounce the idea off of some friends who grew up just like I did, they're like, you know what, this is a great idea. I don't ever remember books like this for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the idea just, it was like a snowball rolling downhill.
Mm-hmm.
The illustrations just came to me naturally, because I was like, you know what, I want it to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the story just unfolded the more people that I talked to. I say, wait a minute, people actually like this idea? Let me start writing about it, my experience. So I realized that everything you write is valuable. And someone once told me that you need to do three things. You need to plant a tree, have a child, if you're able, and write a book. Because all three live beyond you. Ideally, they'll live past you. And I said, it's my time to write a book.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I have to tell you, I'll probably cut this out because it's so irrelevant, but that advice makes me laugh so much, because I planted a tree in third grade. We had like an Arbor Day thing. They sent us home a tree. Hang on, the story doesn't end well. And it's like, it comes home, it's like a stick, right? And my dad runs it over with the lawnmower. And so I go to my teacher and I tell her, and she gives me another tree. We plant it like closer to the house to try to keep it safe. And then my mom ran that over with a lawnmower. So
you your tried.
Advice makes me laugh, because I'm like, does that count? Because I
did it counts. It counts. You did it twice.
Right. I know. Like, it's not living beyond me. They're gone, but I tried. So
that's funny. You tried twice.
Exactly. So did you do the illustrations for the book as well, or did someone else do those?
I reached out to someone to do it, but what I did is I created some really detailed illustrator notes. And okay. I want that child to have a cartouche. Like, I got this in Turkey, and usually see, you know, most of the little kids wearing one of these.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I want that incorporated in here. And I had different photos of our house in Italy. I was like, I want it to look like that. And then I had photos of a base that I had visited recently here in Georgia. I said, let me not use the exact base I lived on, just like a little distance from the store. I was like, I'm going to use Fort Benning instead of, you know, Warner Robins Air Force Base.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to use that instead. I have a photo of the gate. Let me incorporate that. So I created some really detailed notes and I reached out to someone and said, you know, will you help me bring this to life?
Mm-hmm.
And they were more than willing to do that.
That's really cool. The illustrations are beautiful in it.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little about some of the sacrifices that military kids make that, and this can be for parents to know or, you know, just outsiders, but things that people don't really think about that military kids sacrifice?
I would say there's so many things. And the kind of, I have to be honest, writing the book kind of took me back through a whirlwind mm-hmm. of emotions, things that I didn't ever think I would be thinking of again.
Mm-hmm.
Something like wondering if your parent is safe. Mm-hmm. Most kids don't wonder every day if their parents are coming home.
Yeah.
But when that other person is deployed, you really wonder about them a lot. Like, right. Are they okay? Are they warm? Do they have something to eat?
Yeah.
Do they have the pictures that I sent them and the letters that I wrote them?
Right.
You know, you think about them constantly. Every time you don't hear from them, you wonder, are they okay? Or in some instances, like we know if you see somebody in the dress uniform that someone's, the service member has passed, you know, and they're bringing the flag to the house, they're coming
mm-hmm.
to the news. When you see that, you're on edge because you just don't know whose parent that is, but yeah. you feel it just the same, right? So the kids they're always worried. They just don't have they're not really given the freedom to talk about that worry, but they do worry about the parent.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it is some of the things you worry about, you're probably thinking, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you live in a state, not of panic, but you live in a state of, this is where I am and things can change. So you wonder what the change will look like. Will it be a positive change? Will it be a negative change? How soon can I adapt? So you're always trying to think ahead. So I would say the person who lives in their head, that's all the kids. We live in our head. Like, what's next?
Yeah.
You know, is it something good? Is it something I can handle? When they come home, will they be different? Because mm-hmm. every time he leaves, he comes back different,
mm-hmm.
you know, mentally, emotionally.
Sure.
And right. it takes a lot. You're like, well, do they love you? Yeah, they do. But, you know, as a child, you don't really understand someone else's emotional state. You just go, well, they're really mean. They're really angry. I don't know what it is. And so I'm talking more about the PTSD side. You don't understand why this person is different. And they don't mm-hmm. want to play with you. So I think these are some of the things that many of the kids wonder about. And they wonder if they're ever going to see their old friends again.
Sure. Yeah. How old, do you remember how old you were when you really started to feel like those worries? Like you said, worrying about your dad and sort of understanding where he is and what he's doing.
Probably 7.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time that person would leave, you just wonder when they come back, what they're going to be like. You know, because you have so much time away from one parent. So that's the next thing. If it's a two-parent household and one parent is there consistently, that child naturally is going to follow whatever rules that parent makes.
Right.
Because that is, in their mind, the person in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And when the other parent cycles in and out of the home because of their job, that parent's not really in charge to that kid. So mm-hmm. whenever they're naturally going to have some conflict and you're like, well, right. this, you know, mom's really in charge or dad's really in charge. So having to navigate that space could be confusing.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And I know that's something that we've already dealt with, even when he's just gone for a couple of weeks sometimes, when I think they sort of sense you don't feel consistent to me. I'm not comfortable completely leaning into you and letting you be the one who comforts me because I don't know when you're going to leave again. And I was sad when you left. And it's amazing how young they can be and kind of start to sense that sort of thing. And it can be tricky because it's certainly not for lack of wanting to be there. And it's certainly not like one of us truly is more of a primary parent, but physically there's no denying it.
And to them, all they get is the physical.
Right.
The phone Absolutely. Calls are nice. The letters are nice, but the physical is what matters. So I think somebody mm-hmm. was saying like, don't buy your kids presents, have your presence instead, like your physical presence. But when you can't give that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know, kids don't realize the stress it creates for the parent. They just know, okay, I'm heartbroken again. This person is leaving me again. Even right. though they're not choosing to leave you, you feel as though they're choosing to leave you. So that creates like, you create like your own little walls.
Mm-hmm.
of distance between you and that person. You probably have seen this before with some kids and parents. They don't really want to be around sure. this one as much because you're like, okay, they're going to leave. So I'd rather just distance myself a little bit.
Absolutely. Especially after deployments and those longer stretches when it's just sort of like, I'm not sure I really know you. And especially the younger kids who change over, you know, 6-8 months, the development and the changes that the kids go through. And then their parent comes home and they're like, I don't even know what life feels like because you've been gone for half of it, you know, when they're little, especially yeah. small. So
we had that too. Like I was born and then like he was like in a training when I was born mm-hmm. And then he was there for a few weeks and then he had to go to training again. So mm-hmm. several months again before you see this person. And every year it felt as though several months of the year, more of the time than not, you were away. Mm-hmm. And so it creates its own natural tension.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. If you could tell your younger self anything, what would it be?
Probably just to enjoy everything and don't worry as much. It's going to be fine. You're going to make friends everywhere you go. And everybody in your world is just like you, right? Just enjoy it and know that your experience is probably better than most because you have the unique ability to travel, to learn, to speak different languages, to have friends of different cultures. And that in 2021, you'll appreciate all that stuff looking back because you actually had birthday cake that people blew on. You know, you got to see things that nobody saw at such a young age, and mm-hmm. your experience is so different. It's going to enrich your life in a way that most people just don't get to have. Like I had a passport before I knew my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had more That's stamps true. In your passport than most people travel because that was our experience. So you move a lot, and that everything is going to be fine.
I feel like a lot of that's advice that I can take with me as a 32-year-old person. So
just take it. You're going to be fine.
Yeah. I love your perspective. And you talk about in your bio that you work to promote a growth mindset. Can you explain more about what that means?
Yeah, I feel like everything goes back to resiliency. How flexible are you? How aware are you that of what other people are experiencing? And it's like, we should always be in a state where we're trying to grow. I refer to it as a growth mindset because some people don't like the word resilience. They feel as though it's a negative thing. But I feel like in the military community, it's a really good word.
Mm-hmm.
But we should always be growing personally and professionally. And sometimes it's just, I don't know, sitting down and coloring. That's growth. Like you freed your mind for 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
of something that was stressful. Or it could be, I don't know, maybe you let your kids start journaling how they feel every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just by drawing a picture, how I feel. Something like that could be really powerful for their own growth and they feel as though they're in charge of it. So, you know, it's not always like learning a course or trying to build a new skill. It could just literally be ways to take care of yourself. And we're in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. I try to walk every day for a few minutes or, you know, sometimes I just sit and I blow bubbles. I'll find a room by myself in the house. I do it with anybody else. I just want to blow my own bubbles. You know, it's my own moment to do something for me. And I feel like that's growth emotionally and mentally. So mm-hmm. when I always talk about this growth mindset, I tell people, find ways to make your journey okay. Find ways to make it encouraging and fun. And it could even be, I don't know, you want to dye your hair green, do that. If you feel like that's going to free you for an hour, whatever, however long the process takes, and you mm-hmm. grew. You know, you just opened your mind. You tried something different.
Sure. And when you talk about the coloring and stuff, I feel like this past year has been the best example of a time when you need to just shut everything off for 20 minutes. We all need to step away, turn it all off, turn our brain off and just color for 20 minutes. I like that advice a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's the best thing. People laugh at it. And I'm like, I keep bubble wrap. Yeah. Like, why do you have that? And I'm like, have you ever jumped on bubble wrap, the freedom that it brings? They're like, no. I was like, yeah, if you move a lot, you'll have a lot of bubble wrap and you'll probably let the kids jump on it at some point. I was like, that is a fun, free activity. You know, why not do something?
Especially when you're trying to get to the boxes with toys and you haven't made it that far yet. Bubble wrap is sometimes all you have. So, okay, we're going to move into our rapid fire round now. So don't think too hard on these. They're very lighthearted. First one is, what is your favorite city?
Oh, my favorite city? I have to say favorite city. Okay, so it's a toss-up, but I'm going to go with Wiesbaden, Germany.
Okay, sweet or savory?
Sweet.
What would your entrance theme song be?
Oh, my entrance theme song? Okay, so this is always a dream. I've been dreaming. I've been asked this question. It has to be These Boots Were Made for Walking, because I just want to walk in somewhere in my cool boots. And then walk out and switch my boots and walk back in the room.
That's great. You've got the song and the outfit ready. That's
amazing. I hear it in my head when I walk.
I love that so much. Okay. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Time travel.
That's a good one. Would you go forward or backwards?
Backwards.
To when?
I would go back and just like visit people that I know have already gone on, you know, and spend a little more time like on my grandma's couch and chat with her or something. Mm-hmm. And visit my grandpa a little bit more. He always wanted to see Belgium and he wasn't able to see it at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would just sit and just chat with them mm-hmm. and just really make the whole day last before I had to travel again.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you did something for the first time?
Oh, last time I did something for the first time? Okay, so yeah, this was, what was the last holiday? July, was it New Year's Eve?
Mm-hmm.
So I, and let me phrase this by saying, please don't do this. I lit some fireworks, probably a little dangerously close to a tree at the front of the neighborhood. And I had a lot of fireworks. So the neighbors came out, you know, the kids in the neighborhood really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it because I like fireworks. But I was a little scared because it was kind of close to the trees. Definitely the first time I'm doing that.
That's great. I'm glad it all turned out okay, though.
Me too, because I did not have water near me, but I know you're supposed to have water near you. Just don't do that at home.
Noted. I like the rest of your advice. We'll just leave that one. Leave that one for you.
I live on the edge sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you got to shake it up. And lastly, can you leave us with your favorite quote?
Yes, my favorite quote. And I'm going to read it because I keep it here.
Okay.
I love your rapid fire round.
These are actually brand new rapid fire questions too. I shake it up every once in a while. So you are the inaugural person for these five.
I feel special. Let me pull it up. Okay, right there. Okay. It says, and a friend sent it to me, so I put it up on the wall in the fridge. It says, whatever you think you can't do, just know there is someone who is confidently doing it wrong right now. They have no plans at doing it better either, and people are paying them to do it. So please believe in your own excellence as much as they believe in their mediocrity.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Do you love it, Elizabeth?
Oh, I love it. I love that so much. I hope you all enjoyed Charmaine's perspective and insight just as much as I did. Again, be sure to check out her website, booksformilitaryfamilies.com, and you can support her on social media at AmazinglyCharmaine. You can also keep up with us on social media at The American Male Spouse. Talk to you next week.